views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Having learned life lessons the hard way, Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. So tune in, turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Now, here's your host, Chuck Gallagher.
And welcome to Straight Talk Radio. It is such a delight to be with you today. We've got a great show lined up. You know, there's times when you sit back and you look at what's taking place in life and then what's taking place currently in life and know that there's all kinds of lessons that we can learn from the experiences that we happen to go through. And you know, sometimes it's just a joy to connect with people. I remember back in 2006, which seems like a long time ago, it's been several moves ago for me, being in Dallas, Texas, and boy, I mean, things were buzzing there, and I think still are every time I go back. But I remember starting my career in speaking and having been exposed to the National Speakers Association North Texas chapter. And I remember going in the first time and seeing people and talking with people and finding some folks that are wonderfully do and in the ways that they connect with people, and knowing that folks have reached out in many, many ways and said, what can we do to help? It's such a giving and open community. And there I had the opportunity to meet some fabulous people, one of which is my guest today. Now, we're going to talk about a variety of things, postpone doing some things. We're probably going to talk about how that is, why that is, and what we can do to eliminate procrastination. But let me start off by saying my guest is Vicki Hitzkus. Let me spell her last name, Hitzges, because you will want to visit her website, Vicki, Vicki Hitzges. She is a certified speaking professional, and what a pleasant person to connect with. She started her career in the public front office for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, you know, whether you're a Cowboy fan or not, we'll set that to the side. The fact is, it's just a pretty cool way to start. And then 15 years later, hosted her own TV show called Special Edition. She has worked in television as a news anchor, talk show host in Dallas, Texas, interviewed 5 U.S. presidents. How cool is that? Vicki, it's so great to have you on the show.
Well, gosh, Chuck, how lovely of you. What a nice introduction. Thank you. You have a, by the way, you have a wonderful way about you. You are so enthusiastic, but it's not a cheesy, yucky enthusiasm. It's a genuine, pleasant, upbeat, wonderful way about you.
Well, you're very kind, and I have to say, there are times that I was wondering on this show because over the past 3 weeks, I have had, a little more than that, 3 herniated discs and 2 epidurals.
Really?
So it's been a royal pain in the you-know-where. And so I'm just thankful today that the Tuesday epidural has had a nice positive impact by Friday and that I can feel comfortable and good enough to carry on the conversation. But, you know, it's easy when I'm talking with someone like you.
Well, aren't you gracious? Thank you.
So I have to ask a question, just as we kind of get started. I don't know many people that have talked to 5 U.S. presidents. So although that's not your claim to fame, tell me what that was like, because I'm just curious to know.
Oh, gosh, Chuck. It depends on which part of my career you're talking about. When I first started in television news, I had the amazing opportunity to start as a reporter in Dallas, Texas. Usually you have to start in a little tiny market and work up, but I was just really blessed to start in Dallas. But I didn't know anything about news. I mean, nothing. In fact, my very first interview was with a mayoral candidate, and he was withdrawing from the mayor's race because of a scandal. And I to this day, I don't even know what the scandal was. So they throw me in a news car, they race me downstairs, they upstairs, they sit me across the desk from him. I had lived in Dallas all my life. I was really young. I've lived in Dallas all my life. I didn't even know Dallas had a mayor. And I didn't know anything about this guy. I didn't know about the scandal. I didn't know anything about it. And so, I didn't know what to ask him. I'd never done an interview before, and I was terrified. And I was terrified. I was terrified, for good reason for quite a while. So I just pretended I was on a date with him, and I said, "You used to think you were the best man to run this city, and now you don't. Why?" And that's pretty much the way I did all my interviews, and it certainly was the way I did my presidential interviews, because I didn't know about them. But that was in the beginning, and then towards the end, I started reading and I found out something about him. But one thing you notice about presidents is they block the freeways, nobody's allowed to be around them. They fly them in on helicopters. They have bands playing, and it's amazing that presidents are livable, because there's just so much pomp and circumstance, and I would think that would just absolutely go to their head. I mean, and I'm sure it probably does, but it's really something that, they have to fight to get their job, and then once they get it, they're, the most powerful person on the planet. It's an amazing job.
So when you had the chance to talk to Clinton and some of these, who did you find to be the who did you find to be the warmest person, the easiest person to actually talk with?
Oh, easily, that was Bill Clinton. He was, I don't care what your politics are. I would tell you, I don't know if people would disagree with me, but I think he is an impossible man not to like. He is warm, he is caring, he is generous. I have a friend who is a very wealthy physician, and he is a staunch Republican. And I don't know why he was, but he was invited to the White House, and he came away not agreeing with Bill Clinton, but liking Bill Clinton. He's had a lot of hard things happen to him. The way he was raised, the way it's not fresh in my mind right now, but he had, as I recall, his mother married several times, and he had a hard life coming up, but there's a warmth to him, and I think warmth comes out of pain, and I think he had a lot of pain in his life. He's a gracious man. After I interviewed him that week, I was invited to speak to United Airlines, and it was while the Monica Lewinsky scandal was going on.
Uh-huh.
And one of the vice presidents said to me, "Did he hit on you?" And I said, "No, he didn't." And he said, "You sound disappointed." And I said, "Well, I kind of am." I said, "It's not like you've got high standards, And my feeling was, even if you don't want to go to the party, it's nice to get an invitation.
Okay, thank you. That, I love that. That is classic. And that, I think that level of humor and openness is one of those things that makes you so incredibly successful. You obviously know the value of stories and humor and practical content, and that's why you've earned the designation as a certified speaking professional, which is the highest designation awarded by the National Speakers Association, because of the experience and expertise that you have. And so I understand why your career is where it is. How did you get started speaking, though? I know that you were in television and broadcast and so forth, but what was the transition from media to professional speaker?
Oh, aren't you so gracious. Well, I was in television for a number of years, and then I had gone from Dallas to a news anchor job in Corpus Christi, Texas, because believe it or not, they paid better. I had started at the independent station in Dallas and got married and moved back to Dallas and assumed that they would be elated to have me back. And they weren't. They weren't happy at all. They couldn't have cared less. There were three jobs in Dallas. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS. I didn't want to go back to the independent station, having worked at a network station in Corpus Christi. And I didn't want to be a reporter again and work for a living, so I didn't know what to do. So I knew how to get people on television, having had a TV background, so I became a publicist. And one of my clients was Zig Ziglar, who at the time was the number one motivational speaker on the planet.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely was, and a fine man, and he liked me, thought I was in creative, and he said to me, you know, you ought to speak, and I thought, oh, that sounds fun. So he mentored me and got me going, and I've been speaking ever since.
You know, a lot of how do I put this? A lot of things become. Putting yourself in the right place at the right time and having the right attitude so that those serendipitous moments can happen. And I do agree. I remember years ago talking to a guy by the name of Dan Kennedy, and Dan happened to be working with Zig Ziglar at the time, and this goes back into the 80s, and it was kind of interesting because he said, you know, Zig is great on the platform, but people flock to buy his material, and he said, just go to one of his sessions, and he said, by the end of it, you'll be hanging on your seat wanting to rush back to buy, and it was absolutely correct, and you could not ask for a kinder or more gracious person. And so, as I hear music in the background, that also says we've completed the first segment, which I'm quite amazed by. My guest is Vicki Hitchens. You might want to go to Vicki, VickiHitzges.com. Vicki is an international speaker, has an absolutely incredible following. And we'll be back in a minute with Straight Talk Radio to talk a bit more about some of the topics, attitude and procrastination. Well, this is Chuck Gallagher. This is Straight Talk Radio. And we are back with my guest, Vicki Hitchens. You should check out her website, VickiHitzges. Vicki is a certified speaking professional, has had a background in media, broadcast journalism, interviewed five presidents from Reagan to Clinton, talked with business moguls, movie stars, Hall of Fame athletes. Vicki, I'm amazed at the people you've talked to. But let me ask you a question. Have you encountered much adversity along the way, or has it been a smooth road for you?
Oh, no. It was hard for me in the beginning. When I very first started, I was terrified to speak. I don't know if you felt that. You seem to be a natural, but you know, I was shy in high school, and I was never a really comfortable reporter. I was good on camera, but I was never a really comfortable reporter. And I got so I could talk to anybody. I totally got over that. But then I got this job as a speaker, and speaking terrified me. I think life, if you're going to move ahead, you just have to step out. Zig had this wonderful quote. He said, if you wait until all the lights are on green, you'll never go anywhere. And I think life is about moving ahead when you're scared. So anyway, that's my life story. I started with Zig, and I believe at the time he was an $80,000 speaker. Every time he went to speak, he charged $80,000. I, on the other hand, was a $500 speaker, and I wasn't any good. I had one speech, I read it, and every time I spoke, I'd lose my voice because I was so afraid. But I knew how to make a video demo tape, and because of my TV background, and there are speakers out there, you know, I don't even think Zig had a tape. He didn't need one, but there are other speakers out there that charge, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, and my tape was a lot better than theirs, and so people would, you know, hear how much Zig was, and they had no idea, and all of a sudden they were interested in me, and they'd see my tape, and they were like, wow, let's book her. And then I'd show up, you know, with no voice, and I'd read my speech. But I had credibility because I was associated with him, and so I got bumped a lot. And then after, you know, a short period of time, I started to get good. So anyway, that was my beginning.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that. I think a lot of people have this idea that people who are successful just have always been successful, just fell there. I was listening to an interview with Bonnie Raitt, and she's had an incredibly successful career as a singer and songwriter. But somebody in the interview said, "You know, you've just been successful all your life." And she's like, "Whoa, time out! No, that's not true. You don't know how many bars and dives and places that I sang in to develop the skill of being able to be today comfortable and good at what I do." And
Isn't that true?
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing from you. You know, everyone starts somewhere. And I think on this show, on Straight Talk Radio, if there's a takeaway to that, it's, you know what? If you wait until you're an $80,000 speaker, you're never going to do anything because you've got to start someplace in order to get where you're going. And you're so transparent in sharing that. I think that's incredibly powerful for our audience.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I read an interview just a couple weeks ago with Will Smith, who I love. He's always so happy and positive, and everything he does is great. And he said the secret of his success, he said, nobody can outwork me. Nobody. And, you know, he seems like he just shows up and he has fun, and that's why he's successful. But he said, oh, nothing could be further from the truth. He said, if you get on the treadmill and I get on the treadmill, I guarantee you I will walk faster, I will walk harder, and I will be the last one off.
Yeah.
And he said, that's true in every single area of my life. I will work harder. And I thought, wow, isn't that something?
Yeah, that is really powerful. It's kind of like, you know, in the generation, I'm a baby boomer, but in the generation that I grew up in, to me, Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player of all time. Now, people today will argue maybe it's LeBron or some other people, but the one thing about Jordan, he was always first to practice, always last to leave, and was always going to shoot 100 free throws at every practice because he knew that the power of being great is a function of doing over and over and over and over again till you get it so well crafted that it looks like it's easy. But there's incredible work that goes into it.
Yes. My dad is a preacher, and he's old now. He's retired, but he was written up as, listen to this title, Newsweek called him one of the 12 most effective preachers in the English-speaking world.
Oh my goodness!
I know. When I was starting out, I'm never going to get the hang of this. I'm never, and really, he mentored me as much or more than Zig. And I remember saying to my mother, "I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to get this." And my mother said to me, "Stop it, stop it," because I was comparing myself to my dad. And she said, "Your father has been preaching for decades, and you are just beginning. Stop that."
Right.
And I think it's so easy. We always have a tendency to compare ourselves to the best instead of comparing ourselves to where we were last year.
You know, Vicki, you know my background, and most of the people that listen on this show on a regular basis know that I made some really poor choices early in life, and that ended me up in federal prison. And so people a decade after my release, when I was a senior VP in a public company, said, how is that possible? We don't get how you could be a senior VP in a public company and a convicted felon. And what happened? How did you get there? And the answer was simple. I was willing to do what other people didn't want to do. I sold cemetery property door to door. But more important than that, it wasn't the job. It was that I chose to be the best at the job. And I think that's kind of what you're saying. You know, you start off at a certain place, and if you say, I will work harder, I will work longer, and I will be the best at it, regardless of what the job is, it takes you to a place where you get so good at it that people recognize it and will naturally elevate you.
I totally agree with that. Or at least I will be the very best I can be.
Right.
You know, you may not be able to be the best at it. That's something I struggle with. In fact, maybe this is too transparent, but I was beating myself up this morning for not being Jimmy Fallon. I think Jimmy Fallon, what can't he do? He's in shape. He's adorable. He's funny. He likes everyone. Everyone likes him. He wins at almost every game he plays. I mean, what can't the man do, you know? And
right.
And one of my friends, and that's another great thing, have wonderful friends. Boy, be friends with you. Who didn't want to be a friend with you, you know? Called me and said, Vicki, he makes something like $47 million a year. He's the best there is. Quit comparing yourself to him.
Right.
And I mean, that's true. I mean, I know that, but there's just things you need to remember. Compare yourself to where you were last year and work hard to get better and better and better each day.
Yeah, and you know, for all of us, if we're the best we can be, you know, you don't know when you speak to a group, the same as me, when we're standing in front of an audience, whether it's an audience of 50 or 5,000, we don't know who in the audience we might touch by something that we say.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, if we're the best we can be, we're where we are because that's where God has put us. For whatever reason, we're there to touch someone. And, you know that you've reached out and you've talked to people literally around the world, and you would not continue to be invited to do those things if you weren't touching lives in some form or fashion. And I think that goes back to your book, Attitude is Everything, which I think is a great book.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question, because we've got a couple of things. I know that you've written a new book on procrastination, and I don't want to procrastinate talking about procrastination, but I do want to talk about your book, Attitude is Everything. And you talk a little bit about worrying in there. Can you share a little bit about that whole worry concept thing? Because it seems like that's pretty prevalent these days.
Yes, I can, and I can tell you that may be the most popular chapter in the whole book, and it certainly is the one that resonates most with men, which I think is very, very interesting. I was worried about, I went through a divorce. I never, ever thought I would get divorced. I just, maybe I'd get hit by a bus, maybe I'd get cancer, maybe bad things happen. This is not heaven, but I never thought I'd get divorced, and I was scared to death. And I went to talk to a very prominent businessman in town, and he gave me this advice. He said, Vicki, you need to learn to wait to worry. Isn't that interesting advice? Wait to worry. He was an old man at the time. He was in his 90s, and he was... Even at 90, he was full of testosterone, and what that means to me is he had a male ego, so I was sure he'd never admit that he worried, even if he did. But I asked him, I said, do you ever worry? And he said when he was a young man, he did. He said he got a job, even though a really important high-level job, even though he had not gotten a college degree.
With that, Vicki, let's take a break. This is Chuck Gallagher with Straight Talk Radio, and I think that is an absolutely incredible segue to our next section, but let's wait to worry.
Okay.
Stick with us here on Straight Talk Radio. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Straight Talk Radio, and I'm Chuck Gallagher. Thanks for joining us here today. We are having a great time. My guest, Vicki Hitchkiss, is a wonderful certified speaking professional. We've had a lot of fun talking this far, but in our last segment, I think there was something that was pretty significant. We were talking about her book, Attitude is Everything, and a gentleman by the name of Fred who worried because maybe someone would take a job that he had that had a more advanced degree, and he decided that perhaps it was best to worry when there was something to worry about. And, you know, Vicki, the thing that hits me about that is I am a firm believer in the law of attraction. And so, you know, I believe if I sit around thinking something bad's going to happen, probably something bad's going to happen. And so, and I've seen it so many times. It's to me, it's just a fascinating thing. It's like I look at Randy Gage, who again, a great speaker in our industry. And Randy talks about prosperity, and he thinks prosperous, and he lives prosperous, and it's. It's like, and I know some other folks, good friends of mine, who are always complaining about not having money, and they don't have money. And it's like, well, you know, if you think I don't have money, well, then you're not going to naturally attract it to you. So if you don't want to sit around worrying about what could happen, wait to worry. What powerful information you're sharing.
Well, thank you. I think the law of attraction, I'm not sure that I do agree with that. I think just because you want something doesn't mean you get it. I don't mean to be contrarian, but I'll tell you a funny story about it. There was a book that was so popular that came out a few years ago. It was kind of New Agey. It was called The Secret.
Oh, yes.
And the whole basis of it was if you really, really want something, you'll attract it to you, which I think is a bunch of hooey. We don't get what we want necessarily in life, you know. But I was discussing it with a man on the plane, and and I was telling him about it, and I was telling him that was, you know, if you just boil it all down quickly, that's the premise of the book. And he said to me, well, I'll tell you this. Nobody ever wanted or thought about anything more than I thought about Bridget Bardot in high school. And all I can tell you is she never once showed up.
Oh, too funny. Too funny. I like that. And I have to say, and it isn't contrary, it's interesting to me, and we're going to switch your books here in a second, but it is interesting to me, that whole concept of wanting something, because I think there, and this is, you know, philosophical, I guess, but if I want something, then what I am attracting is wanting. And so, therefore, as long as I want it, I will want it because I am thinking about wanting. Now, I know that's a play on words to some people, but I look at it this way. Vicki, if I have an objective of having a radio show, we're on today. I might have said at one point, I want a radio show, but more important to me was I am a radio show host. And now I need to take action to get there. You know, I could want Bridget Bardot, although she's a bit before my time, but, you know, I could want Bridget Bardot, but that ain't going to happen. I get that. But am I willing to put forth the steps necessary? Am I willing to move forward? And I think that's kind of the thing that got me with your next book. And this one, listen, I've had a conversation with my wife about this very conversation, but the name of your book is Stuck on Stop, How to Quit Procrastinating. And, oh my gosh, my wife and I a week ago had a very detailed conversation about my procrastination. And
I'm surprised to face it. You seem like quite the goer and doer to me.
Well, you know, going and doing is one thing. The question is, and look, this is the transparent side of me, is so I get an email and it says, well, you need to do something. So I'll flag the email to remind me that I need to do something instead of just doing it right then. You know, my wife is like, well, why don't you just do it? I said, well, I don't want to do it right now. Well, yeah, but you wait to do it. Well, yeah, but, you know, it gets done. Yeah, but at the end, not when it could be. Just touch it one time and move on. And I'm like, oh, what that says to me internally is I'm not having fun with this. I want to do it in my time, not in someone else's time. But yet at the same time, I'm procrastinating, which means I'm stuck on stop or do it in the future. So tell me what motivated you to write the book.
Well, when I was a kid, I procrastinated. I'd get a book report assignment, and the teacher would say, you've got 6 weeks to get this book, read it, and write a book report. Well, you know, when you're a kid, 6 weeks is like dog years. It's never going to come, but it does come. 6 weeks comes
later.
Quickly.
Sure.
And then the night before, I'd scramble to get the book and, you know, make up some fiction, and the book report would be horrid. And I did shockingly well in school, given that that was my MO. But in the fifth grade, I went from being an A student to a C student, and I'd never gotten a C before. And I remember my teacher, Mrs. Abston, writing these bright red C's on my report card and the feeling that that gave me. And I knew my parents would not be pleased, but I wasn't pleased. I didn't want to be mediocre, and nobody wants to be mediocre. You don't want to, your listeners don't want to, nobody wants to be mediocre.
Absolutely.
And I thought, right then, I was going to change. And I did, man, I changed. And so now I get things done, and I've noticed that when I do that, I feel good about myself, and things are done, and they're not hanging over me, and I don't think, oh, I got to do that. Now, you know, I'm not 100%. This isn't, you know, I turned a new leaf and nothing goes undone. But the big stuff, if it's work stuff, I take care of it right away. If you look to my closet, you got to get your shots, you know. But that kind of stuff, that's not a huge priority to me. But if it's work stuff, I take care of it right away.
So when you're out and you have the opportunity to talk with people literally around the country, do you find that people gravitate toward wanting to not procrastinate, or do they listen and say, gee, that's really great, but they still are hung up in the habit and things don't change?
Well, what I find interesting is the book is fairly new, and I've had a lot of demand for the other talks that I've already written, and I do, and it's brainless. You can kind of wake me up, and I can give those talks, and I can easily customize them, so I do. But when I tell them I've got these, and I also bought out the supply of my book on attitude, which is the cutest book ever. I would defy anybody else to come up with a cuter book title. It's got ducks on the cover going over just a cute book. And
right.
There's an easier website for me. It's keynotespeaker.com, by the way. If you just go just to look at the cover. It's just so cute. But when I tell people I wrote a book on how to quit procrastinating, people just light up. You know, they want the book on attitude, but when they hear that, they go, I need that.
Uh-huh.
I need that. So apparently there's a huge need for it.
Well, you know, it would appear from just purely a societal perspective that most people aren't focused on here's what needs to be done, do it, move forward, and be done with it. In other words, I would say most people at some level do in fact procrastinate. And so, you know, you if you know that to be the case, I think being able to figure out how to stop procrastinating is really an incredible thing. It's an incredible value. Let me put it that way. Now, you wrote 11 chapters in this book, mm-hmm. with tips on, you know, how to get things done when you want to get them done. And so what are some of the tips? Let's pull back
well,
the curtain,
gosh,
so to speak.
Gosh, there's a bunch of them. Things like, Chuck, let me flip the book open and let me see. One of them is, not a job is, some jobs are worth doing poorly. That's a good tip. So people have in their minds, particularly perfectionists, that a job has to be done just mwah. And so if they're perfectionists, they put it off because they know it's just going to take them forever and they want to do it just exactly right. And a lot of times perfectionists just delay and delay and delay, and it's not because they're lazy, it's because they want the job done well and they have a fear of messing up. But if they put it off, then they have a built-in excuse. I didn't have enough time.
Gotcha.
And the truth is, most jobs just need to get done. You don't have to have perfectly created file folder tabs. You just need to get them done. In fact, nowadays, you don't even need file folder tabs. You just need to get stuff off your desk. Just do the job. Write the letter to Aunt Mary. Clean your refrigerator. Just do it. But do the job. One tip that seems to work for a lot of people is to leave your desk and go someplace new. There's something about being in a new place that's quiet that helps your creativity. And here's a tip that I don't know that I agree with it, but the studies show this works. If you need to do creative work, if you go to a place with a little bit of noise, it will boost your creativity. So they say. I like to work in a place where it's, you know, as quiet as a cemetery. I like quiet. It's worth trying.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so a couple of things you hit on there that really struck me. One is I do like the idea of grabbing all my papers that I have procrastinated in dealing with, moving to a different space, and then I knock them out. I don't know why that is, but that sure works, and it was a great tip. We're talking with Vicki Hitchkiss. She has written a book, Stuck on Stop, How to Quit Procrastinating. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about a few more tips as we wind up this segment of Straight Talk Radio. Thanks for sticking with us here on Straight Talk Radio. This is Chuck Gallagher, and we have been talking about Vicki Hitchkiss' new book, Stuck on Stop, How to Quit Procrastinating. And I had said my wife was very clear with me that as she is not a procrastinator at all, and I tend to be, at least in some things, I think I made her really happy the other night. She had a list of things that needed to be done, and I just started knocking them out like crazy. Not that I wanted to. I just wanted to see what the impact would be to her, and her eyes lit up, and it was like, man, it was almost like I brought her flowers. So I think I've learned in marriage, happy wife, happy life. Just don't procrastinate, and it might actually create a little romantic spark there. You never know. Now, Vicki, you talk about the law of good enough, and I think that's what we were finishing with on our last segment, which is just do what needs to be done. It doesn't have to be done perfect. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Just most jobs, you know, some things you've got to get them right. If you're writing something, a report for your boss's boss, and he's going to show it to the board of directors, that's a job that's got to be done right. Most things just have to get done. Just do them.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things, Vicki, that you were talking about, and it does strike me as interesting, I probably am not a perfectionist. I would be the first to say that. I mean, there's some things that I really like right, and I'm pretty opinionated, but in comparing myself to people who really are perfectionists, I'd much rather get it done and move on than worry about the, is it absolutely at its best. So I have to assume that perhaps people who are perfectionists don't want to be criticized. They don't want to be judged. And if it's perfect, then you have to judge me perfectly. Whereas I don't care too much how I'm judged. I just want to make sure that I feel like I am doing my best. So there's probably some psychological reasons why things aren't being done. But you give a tip. You say squeeze the most out of your day. What does that mean?
Well, this has been a story that's been around for a while, but it's good advice. About 100 years ago, there was a consultant named Ivy Lee, and he told Charles Schwab, who at the time was the president of Bethlehem Steel, that he could get Charles Schwab's executives to produce a significant amount more work if he could just spend 15 minutes with each of them. And he told Schwab that he wouldn't charge him anything. They'd wait 3 months, and if his results paid off, Schwab could just pay him whatever he thought his advice was worth. And so Schwab thought, well, deal. So what happened was Lee met with Schwab's executives, but he only spent 10 minutes with them. And what he told them was this: every day, make a list of the 6 most important things you have to do the next day and write them in order of importance. Write down the 6 most important things you have to do tomorrow and write them down in order of importance, and then work them through and scratch them off as you do them. And anything you don't finish goes on the list the next day.
Okay.
That's all he said. Well, 3 months later, Schwab was so impressed, he gave Lee $35,000. Now, that may or may not sound like a lot of money to you, but back then,
the
minimum wage was $2 a day or $4,000 a year, which was a heck of a lot of money. And even today, if you spent 10 minutes a day with a couple of executives and somebody gave you $35,000 and it was that simple of a tip, you'd be happy about it. But that's how valuable the tip was. Every day, think through what you've got to do tomorrow, the 6 most important things, put them in order of importance, and then whack them out.
You know, that is, and it's so simple and yet so profound. I found myself, I've got my to-do list, but I've got 50 things on the to-do list, not the 6 most important. So I may find myself going through the to-do list and knocking some things out. But the question is, it's a profound question, is, well, am I knocking out the things that are most productive for me right now that will move me to the direction of my dreams? Or am I knocking things out that need to be done, but if they weren't done today, wouldn't be relevant? I'm leaving the things that need to be done today and perhaps continuing to procrastinate. Vicki, I think that's awesome.
It's a good tip, isn't it? Mary
Absolutely.
Kay, in one of her books, wrote about that study, and she changed it a little bit. She said, don't just put the most important things, but she said, start with the hardest thing. Because she said, once you get the hardest thing done, the rest of your day is going to be downhill.
Yeah.
And I think that is great advice.
Yeah, I have to agree that, especially when you get up first thing in the morning, you know, once you kind of get invigorated, you've got your energy to be able to knock out the things that are the toughest. And you're right. If you knock out the toughest thing, after that, the rest of it does tend to fall downhill, which is at least it makes you feel a whole lot better as you're moving toward those things that you need to accomplish.
Yes, that's why I always make myself work out first thing in the morning. Because if I work out then, it'll get done. If I say, oh, I'll do it tonight, no, I won't.
Nah, I hear you. Nah, I hear that, girl. And I'm the guy that hasn't worked out and then have, you know, herniated disc and think to myself, well, you dummy, you should have been working out. Maybe you wouldn't feel so needless to say, I have a different attitude, not only toward working out, but compassion for people that move slow. Because when I was zipping through an airport, I'd get right frustrated at people going kind of slow. And now I'm moving kind of slow. And I think I look at life perhaps a bit different. But
you know what? That is one of the benefits of pain. It really does change your perspective, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. And you have a tip called Allow Yourself a Second Chance. And I wrote a book called Second Chances. So tell me, I'm always fascinated when the words, two words come together, second chance. So what does that have to do with procrastinating?
Well, I find that if I blow off a morning, like I work out of my house, so sometimes I'll sleep late, or I'll blow off a morning, or I'll blow off until like 1 in the afternoon. And then the tendency is to think, or I'm pretty strict about what I eat, but I used to think, oh, well, I've blown my diet, so I'll keep blowing it. No, what a terrible attitude. You stop that, and as soon as you think, okay, it's 1 o'clock, or it's 10 o'clock, or it's, you know, I've eaten this cheesecake, right then, start. Get back on it. Give yourself a second chance and start right then.
Oh, I think that's incredibly powerful. And, you know, I do agree with you. You tend to find people, and I'll step out and say myself included, you know, if you blow it today, oh, what the heck, I've blown it. Let me go ahead and get some ice cream or whatever the circumstance may be. You know, I'll pick it back up tomorrow. Well, you know, if I've already recognized I've blown it, why not get back on track?
Yeah, don't make it even worse.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for folks who are on this call, the title of the book, Stuck on Stop, How to Quit Procrastinating. And if you want a copy of the book, go to the website, keynotespeaker.com. By the way, Vicki, cool keywords there, but keynotespeaker.com. You'll see Vicki's website there, all the information about how to hire Vicki, the programs that she does. But if you want to quit procrastinating, pick up your copy of the book, Stuck on Stop, there. You know, as we close down where we are, and I'm not sure where our time is right this moment, but one of the things you talk about is a buddy system. And I firmly believe that if you're a part of a buddy system or a mastermind group or you have an accountability partner, just the fact that I'm accountable because I've committed to you, I'm going to do something, or you to me, probably puts us into the position of we're more apt to get it done. Is that the concept?
That is exactly the concept. If I have a workout partner, I'll show up. You know, some days I'll think, oh, it's cold, it's rainy, but if I've got a workout partner waiting for me, I'll go show up for her. When I have a speaker friend like you, you know, you'll sharpen me, you'll make me more competitive, and we'll help each other. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Get a buddy.
Well, Vicki, I have to say, this has been so much fun. My guest has been Vicki Hitchkiss. You can find her on keynotespeaker.com or VickiHitzges.com. Vicki is outstanding in her career. She's a certified speaking professional. She is literally an international speaker, has spoken to banks, insurance companies, hotel chains. If you're interested in someone that can motivate your audience with Attitude is Everything or Stuck on Stop or a variety of programs that she offers, go to keynotespeaker.com. And Vicki, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Straight Talk Radio. And I know that people listening will have gotten some really profound jewels that come out of this show. So thank you again.
You couldn't have been more delightful as a host. Thank you for having me, Chuck. It was great to visit with you.
You know, it's my pleasure. And so for those of you that are regular listeners to Straight Talk Radio, we will be back next week with a great show. Otherwise, as we always close out, remember, every choice we make in life has a consequence. So let's work hard to make positive choices and claim the success that we can have in our lives. This is Chuck Gallagher signing off with Straight Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Tune in each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as Chuck Gallagher, international speaker and author, cuts through the noise to share truth through transparency. Nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher.